Thank you, Mr. Speaker. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على النبي العربي الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. President Lovash, Excellencies, Ladies and Gentlemen, Distinguished Guests, and now dear friends. Before I start, I think it would be remiss of me not to say a very heartfelt thank you to the Hungarian Academy of Sciences for your sterling organization, warm hospitality, diligent attention to detail, and so therefore, President Lovász, a very warm thank you from me and from everybody here. If you would also allow me to extend a personal thanks to your very dedicated team, and particularly to your secret weapon in the Hungarian Academy of Science, Mr. Gergely Bohm. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with both sadness and great anticipation that I say goodbye to you all at the end of this World Science Forum 2015. Sadness that this wonderful coming together of the world's greatest scientific thinkers and visionaries must draw to a conclusion for the time being, yet great anticipation to see the actions and innovative strategies that will grow ever more vigorously in the wake of WSF 2015. And of course, great excitement as we in Jordan prepare to welcome you to our home country in 2017. I believe I am not alone in leaving the discussions this year with a renewed and redoubled sense of mission. It is clear from our deliberations that so many of us feel a growing sense of the absolute urgency for science to find its voice in every aspect of global, regional, and national policy making. Indeed, it is evident that our role has changed utterly since the beginnings of the World Science Conference in 1999, and it is now the moral and professional duty of scientists around the world to join our struggle to save our planet, our societies, and our essential humanity. And as we contemplate the role of science and scientists in our troubled world, I would ask that we also examine honestly and openly our separate and innate understandings of the concept that will lead us to 2017, that of science for peace. I particularly urge you all to articulate over the coming months and years what that concept means to you, in your world, your profession, and your society. If science is to find a powerful voice and have a real and beneficial impact on our challenged world, across borders, and through cultural barriers, then we must engage honestly with one another. And we must not just ask what science for peace is, but what we truly expect to gain from it, each of us, for ourselves and our own communities. For what do we or our organizations hope to achieve in terms of our wider agendas from engagement through science? Perhaps more importantly, what do those who fund or support us seek to achieve from this interaction? And how can we build an independent science agenda on a solid footing that can withstand division and correct distortion? Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, in this, the year of light, we must illuminate our own hopes, fears, and reservations as we strive to make science truly global and visibly equal, as we strike a flame for all who are in need or seek a sustainable and secure future. We must trust that innovation will be our salvation, both in science and in cross-cultural engagement. Fear is the enemy of light, and fear will not lead us to the bright future that all humanity deserves. However, as we face an immediate future of deep uncertainty, and as so many in our world face journeys of migration that seem so desperate and without hope, we must not lose sight of our common agenda or our common humanity. It sadly seems inevitable that economic and political instability will remain a feature of our world, east and west of the Mediterranean, for the foreseeable future. So how do we devise a science policy infrastructure that can withstand the challenges of that environment and help to bring greater stability to all our people? As uncertainty increases and politicians look at timeframes that span short terms of office, we may be sure that major issues such as resource management, resilience, and of course climate change may be left to one side. And we may also be certain that this course of action will do nothing but store up even greater challenges for our shared future. Indeed, as ever, in the midst of 24-hour news and attention-grabbing headlines, the greatest threat to our shared sustainable future is short-term thinking in politics, in finance, and in development. Our challenge is to make our world a long-term project, one in which every citizen and every politician shall feel they have a stake. Despite the evidence that scientists have produced in recent years, global existential challenges continue to increase, and despite ever starker warnings of their potential consequences, we have seen a weakening of scientific thinking in many areas of politics and society all around the world. It is difficult to comprehend that evidence-based reasoning and critical thought is losing airtime in the face of rising fundamentalism and nationalism in both East and West. Let us ensure that we lose no more ground in this most fundamental area of social and cultural engagement. In this environment, we must not underestimate the need to reinforce science education at a very fundamental level in all our societies. That means supporting social education and reinforcing the position of the scientific method in all areas of discussion and education. It is perhaps fitting that we should meet next in 2017 at the Dead Sea in Jordan, for this wonder of nature, the lowest point on Earth, is a beautiful example of how man has upset the balance of nature to a point of no return. As water levels continue to fall rapidly every year, our Dead Sea is a constant reminder of how precious our resources are. Indeed, the carrying capacity of our entire region is already overstretched and perhaps beyond repair, unless science can be freed to act with independence and ingenuity. We have passed a point of no return, where issues such as the current refugee crisis serve to highlight how ill-prepared we are for cooperation and for humanity. As we struggle with water and energy, I hope that the Middle East may learn from the European context and the European experience in the aftermath of World War II. When the commodities of coal and steel formed a firm foundation of deep and enduring cooperation between nations, it is difficult to believe that those dark days, when a conflict-scarred continent struggled with destruction, famine, displacement of people on a massive scale, and the building of walls and barriers to divide nations and cities, was but a couple of generations ago. Indeed, this was the environment from which UNESCO emerged. And as we celebrate that great organization's 70th year, we must marvel at what has been achieved in Europe in its lifetime. We might hope that when it celebrates its 150th year, as our wonderful hosts, the Young Hungarian Academy, do this year, our world will be a much improved place. For in Europe, in the aftermath of war, initiatives such as the Marshall Plan and the aid and ingenuity of Europeans and non-Europeans alike ensured that your continent had a bright and peaceful future. I can only hope that that same determined will, God willing, coupled with so much more advanced scientific knowledge, may offer my own region, your neighboring region, the future it deserves. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as my cousin, His Majesty King Abdullah II said, there is no dignity in possessing the scientific means to alleviate poverty and suffering in our world, yet simultaneously lacking the political and diplomatic will to act. We must grasp the opportunity to reach an unprecedented consensus on a vision for development across our world, one that is science-based and universally applicable. For we stand at a crossroads. The road we choose now will determine the journey of our descendants for many generations to come. I very much look forward to welcoming you all to Jordan and to extending the embrace of science across borders and through barriers. I thank you. You've given me a very hard act to follow. I hope I can live up to the expectations. Thank you, Your Excellency, the Minister of Culture and Science Diplomacy, for your very generous words. And I thank you, the Assistant Director General of the UNESCO, for your kind sentiments. As well, it would be remiss not to end without a special thanks to Ambassador Catherine Borel. Thank you, and thank you very much again.